Next speaker is Gustavo Slaefer, and the title of his presentation is going to be Source Sink Manipulations During Grain Filling in Maize Grown Under Contrasting N and Temperature Regimes.
Thanks, Vara, for the opportunity to speak here, and thank you for all of you for coming. Sorry for the very unenthusiastic title. It looks like one more case in which this will be done. I hope I will convince you it is not only that. So I need to put everything very short, so it's a long number, large number of experiments and treatments, but I will try to make everything very short. So physiological causes of grain weight determination are less clear in maize than in other cereals, at least in part due to difficulties in manipulating sink strength. Grain growth during the effective grain filling period seems to be mostly seen limited in wheat and barley, but the situation in maize is far less clear. Do we have a laser or something? Okay, so this is the kind of most common kind of experiments in which we can analyze this. And this is a review that we did a few years ago, where we compare the response of grain weight to the change in assimilate availability per grain. So the control is in the zero, and it's the case we want to understand. We don't care what happened in the other cases. The other cases are manipulation for us to understand what's the situation in the control. And whenever we see examples of this doesn't work very well with my finger at least. Whenever we explore responses of reductions in assimilate availability, for instance by shading or defoliation, normally we get a clear decrease in grain weight, very much in line with the amount of thank you so much. Okay. Okay, very much in line with the amount of production in assimilate availability, and that's normally interpreted as a clear situation of a source limitation. If we reduce source strength, the grain weight is reduced in a proportional way. And with increases in availability of assimilate, the response is not clear. It's clear that it goes not on the one line, but in some cases there is no response, some other cases there is a response. The problem is that, unlike in wheat or barley, where we can remove grains very easily during the after flowering, and the onset of grain filling, we can remove competitors and leave some other grains without competition to see how they respond. In maize, that's not that easy. And in most cases, what people have done is avoiding pollination by bagging the ears. That's fair enough for reducing grain number, but it reduces grain number at the time when grain weight potential is being set during the first lag phase. And then we cannot get interpretation very clearly on what the situation is during grain filling. So there may be the idea that grain weight may be source limited is even more relevant if we are conscious that temperatures are going to be higher, and that brings about acceleration of senescence. So if the crop is source limited, the situation will be even worse when there is more senescence. But it's not clear whether temperature effects on grain weight are actually due to accelerated senescence, and then a source limited crop would reduce grain weight, or whether it is a direct effect of temperature on grain capacity to grow, as has been clearly shown in wheat and barley. So, to the best of our knowledge, no experiments have been done combining high temperatures and manipulation of sourcings during grain filling in maize, not even mentioning done in the field, not done at all, as far as we are aware at least. And then we aim to analyze the responsiveness of maize grains to defoliation and degraining imposed 15 days after silking, when normally starts the grain filling period, the effective grain filling period. So, as I said, we did a number of experiments. I will not draw to your attention to every single detail, but the experiments were done sometimes in a plain of Lleida, which is a very hot environment for maize, sometimes in the middle of the Pyrenees, as you can see the landscape, in a valley of the Pyrenees, which is a cold background environment. I will not compare the two sites, like if the only difference is temperature, but at least we have different thermal background conditions in which treatments were imposed. And then there were a number of nitrogen treatments that I will not go through in detail now because I don't have the time, but they at least imposed a large number of background conditions in which high temperature and sourcing manipulations were imposed. And then it came the heat stress. In four of the experiments, we did the heat in the field, so we built up structures in the field so that a whole canopy, part of the canopy, a subplot, may be heated at any time we want to. So we built up the structures, and then we let them uncover until the time we decide to impose the heat stress treatment, and then at that time we cover them with a polyethylene film, and then we have in the field a high-temperature treatment done with starting at the time we want to and removing at the time we want to as well. And that's the landscape of one of our experiments, and I want to call your attention, that is a farmer field. It's not even a field station, not to mention a chamber. It's a real farmer field. We rented the farm, and we made the experiment in the farmer field. And then there are different colors because of the nitrogen treatments. And this is an aerial view with the structures without covering now of the sort of experiment we were doing. And then it came on top of all that, it came manipulations of sourcing treatments. That is the focus of this particular talk. And then the foliation is very simple, so I will not invest much on that. We went 15 days after silking and remove most of the leaves. And then we have plants that were controls, and plants that have virtually only 2-3 leaves left to fill the range. And then it came the most original and novel aspect we did, and I will spend a minute on this. So 15 days after silking, we went to the label plants. We peel off the husks like peeling a banana, very much like that, not as quick, because maize was not made to be that. And then after that, we disinfected all the ear and the instruments, and then with the scalpel we remove all the grains in each row, every second row of maize. So we remove virtually half of the grains without altering the disposition of grains of different size potential along the ear. And that's a major difference with the only example I know that was done by Jim Gennari many years ago, in which they cut the ear by half, and then saw what happened with the basal grains. But the basal grains are the dominant ones. If there is a competition problem, chances are that you will not see them in there. And then we disinfected again, and then put back the husk on, covering the ear, and use elastic bands to maintain the husk there. And then every week we went to every single plant, open again, see that there was no infection or anything, and disinfect it again, and pull them back again. And beyond the treatments, we have few placebos, plants in which we did all the things without removing any grain, and seeing to what degree all this manipulation may affect. I have no time to show the results with the placebo, but they were well. And then this is a detail on how, with the scalpel, we were moving the grains, and this is how it looked like after imposing the treatment. We have half of the grains, but respecting the whole positions within the ear. And that's how it looks like, the control, and the treated plants in 15 days after silking, and this is at maturity. So, very briefly, the main results. When we see the first result we got, that was the first experiment we did, and look only on the circles now, the unheated treatments, the controls without heat, we found a very dramatic reduction in all the data will be shown in the weight of the grains in the control versus the grain of the weight in the defoliated or degrained plants. So in this case, it was clear that there was a dramatic fall from the one-to-one line that indicated that defoliating the plants dramatically reduced the average weight of all the grains. And that's normally what happened, as I showed in the introduction, and it was shown in the review we wrote with Luca Borras and Maria Otegi. And that the normal interpretation of this is that it shows a clear indication of a source limitation. But we have done 7 experiments, and when we see all the experiments, the response was not always like that. So at least in one experiment, the last one, number 7, we didn't get any response, any reduction in grain weight to defoliation, and the treatment was exactly the same in timing and intensity in every single experiment. And in the other ones, there were some cases, like experiment 2, where we got very similar results. But in experiment 4, for instance, or experiment 3, there was a reduction that was very marginal compared with other cases. So at least the magnitude varied markedly. And that brings some doubts on whether there is a source limitation. If it's a clear source limitation in the control, the response should be consistent. And it wasn't that consistent. And even worse, the squares are the heated plants in the 4 experiments in where we have the heating, and heating always reduces grain weight. We can see that all the squares are on the left in the independent variable, in the control, were on the left, meaning that grain weight was reduced by the heat. But if the control was in a source limitation condition, the heating should have affected grain weight more markedly for the in the defoliated plants than in the non-heated plants. Because we have not only the defoliation, but also an acceleration of senescence. And it wasn't the case. There wasn't any trend to increase the damage produced by defoliation in the heated than in the control plants. And that marked certain doubts on whether it could be really a source limitation, even though there is a reduction in grain weight. And even worse, when we analyze the response of the different grains of different weight potential, the basal, the central, and apical grains, if it is a competition, it should be a hierarchical response. Dominant grains should be less affected than dominated grains. And all of them respond very similarly. The bar is pushing me to go faster, so if you start not understanding me or understanding me even less than now, it's his fault. So for the graining, there wasn't any response. So that's also in line with the idea that there is no limitation. And reduction in grain weight due to heating was not reversed by degraining. If the heating effect was due to reduced source strength by accelerating senescence, removing competitors should bring the situation back to the control. And it didn't happen at all. And the response was not masked by the dominant grains. Even the apical grains did not respond to the graining. So, in brief, grain weight was largely unresponsive to the graining, but was in general reduced by defoliation. And the normal, at least the most frequent interpretation of that, would be that maize grains are source limited during grain filling, or at least in a sort of balance between being source or seed limited. However, we showed that grain weight reduction due to defoliation was quite variable for the same intensity traits, including a case in which there was no response at all with the same hybrid, and was not hierarchical. And that is against the idea that there is a competition. When there is a competition, there is a hierarchy in response. And that invites at least us to rethink on something beyond competition to explain why grain weight is generally reduced when there is a defoliation. And heat stress always reduces significantly grain growth, but neither defoliation worsened nor the graining diminished consistently the effect. So, and the effect was quantitatively similar for grains in different potential size. The effect of heat stress was similar for the grains in the tip of the ear, for grains in the basal part of the ear. So, both things together reinforce the conclusion that grain growth is chiefly seed limited during the effective period of grain filling. Even when there is reduction when we apply defoliations, there must be something else but it's not competition, apparently. And heat stress affects directly the capacity of the grains to grow, and the fact that it also affects senescence is absolutely trivial to understand the effect heat stress has on grain size. So thank you so much. Finally, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Raciel, who is back in Mexico, who was a student funded by the University of Lleida Scholarship System, and Roxana Sabin. And Mariano Cosani cannot be in the picture because he left to see me at the time we took the picture, but he's also part of the work and the funding. And thank you so much for your attention. They do, because we didn't measure that. But they must fill some of the gap produced by the defoliation. So they are part of the equation. And the only thing, the only conclusion, whenever we say that grain growth during the effective grain filling period is so seen limited, is that the capacity of the crop to provide assimilate to fill the grains is good enough or even in excess to the demands. And there are evolutionary ideas that Victor Sadas brought about a couple of years ago, a few years ago, explaining why this should be the case. We label at silking. We went to the field every single day, so we will label every single plant at silking of that plant, and the treatments were always imposed 15 days after silking.
And you've never tried doing that treatment a little earlier?
Yeah, we did. We did a couple of times that, and then you affect massively the grain weight because you affect not the capacity of the plant or the crop to fill the grains during the effective period of grain filling, you affect the grain potential size. And definitely, if you do that earlier, if you remove grains earlier, like people do in the bagging of the ears, avoiding pollination, normally grain weight increases. But it's only that you increase the grain weight potential, and then the crop has the capacity to fill the grains to whatever they demand. I can only speculate on that. You are absolutely right. The treatment is not perfect at all. But we measured temperature in the tissues. Temperature in the tissues were increased by the treatment. The maximum in temperature was increased. The minimum was not affected. So we have the numbers to say how was sensible heat as well. But there are other problems with this. The beauty of this is that we do that in the field, in a real crop, with a real situation. So, but having that beauty put forward, it doesn't mean it doesn't have any drawbacks.
Did you measure 15 days in the chambers?
Inside the chambers, PPD was very low because humidity rises during the day inside the chamber. So, but it was drip irrigated all the time, so there wasn't any lack of water. I wouldn't say water stress, but at least there wasn't any lack of water in the soil in any of the treatment. But that's probably the main problem with the high temperature treatment.
Thank you. We will continue the discussion. He'll be here, so thank you very much.